We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope all the fathers had a good Father's Day and had a good time doing whatever you do. So anyway, a lot went on around my Ponderosa this weekend. More about that right after the weather. Let's check into this. Altus, you and Watonga and Freedom and Buffalo all tied for first place for the hot spot in the whole state. 91 degrees. 88 at Arnett, 89 at Hollis, 89 at Bessie out here in the panhandle of Texas, 88 at Lipscomb, 87 at Miami, 84 at McLean, 88 at Wellington, and 88 at Odell. So we'll have more weather for you coming up in the second segment. I got through with my peanuts, watering my peanuts, got across it one time, so we're good. Using side row on that. See what else happened in there. Working the high tunnel. I'm not going to lie. I am going to brag, though. My tomatoes are, if something doesn't happen to them before they turn red, they're looking great. Got a bunch of them that are still growing and getting bigger. Sandy come out there, what was it, yesterday morning or Saturday morning? There's a 8-pack of them, I call them. 8-pack of baby Millers back in the day, high school. But 8-pack of them, that are all size of softballs, just waiting to turn red. I've had, of all those tomato plants I got, I have had 3 that have turned over the last week. That's not very good. I need them to turn like 8 or 10 a day. But anyway, got to have patience with tomatoes. The sweet corn's going good. Oh, update on the corn. It is a go this weekend for the sweet corn. I think I'm going to sneak over there Saturday evening and pick it up and come back and be at Tosh's diesel service somewhere around noon on Sunday. That way everybody can go to church, and when they get out, they can come by and get it or whatever. So I'll hang out over there for a couple hours. So anyway, I'm probably going to get about 80 sacks of corn. And I think 30 of them are already sold on Facebook, but it's going to be a first come, first serve. I'm sorry. Too many people are wanting sacks of corn, and I can't write it all down. So you're just going to have to come. Sorry. I don't. It's too much drama and too much on my brain to do that. So please just pass the word that I'll be around Tosh's diesel service probably around noon, but I will update you Saturday. For sure, on my social media page to let you know about that. And then peanuts are all watered. They're doing good. The grasshoppers are doing really, really good. I was changing the hydraulic oil filters on my John Deere tractor, and I walked over the shed for something. I looked over there at this no-till garden that I got going on over there, just experimenting with stuff. And I thought, man, all those onions must be ready. They're laying down. No, I walked over there and the grasshoppers that had them 50% ate the tops, ate off of them. This was in 2 days because I know I checked them Thursday, and this was Saturday, and there was so many grasshoppers on each onion plant, they had them laid over. That's the reason why I couldn't see them. The grasshoppers, bad deal. I mean, I don't know of any organic ways to help people with the grasshoppers. I just don't, you know. It's either you're going to let them eat or you're going to have to do something you don't want to. But I haven't had any problems. A few grasshoppers in the high tunnel. Maybe I've killed a dozen in there. But they're not doing any damage to sweet corn. They do love sweet corn leaves. And anyway, I don't know how my personal sweet corn is going to do because it started tasseling about a week, 10 days ago, and then start pollinating probably last Tuesday, and it's been hot ever since. And corn and pollination and heat are not the best of combinations, but hopefully I'm keeping the plants cool enough that something good happens. I turn the water on underneath on the roots every day for the corn. I'm not keeping them sopping muddy, but I'm keeping them very wet. So anyway, got reports of some bunch of hogs being somebody's neighbor up around Byside killed 32, 33 hogs, something like that. Without looking at my text, I know it was in the 30s. Anyway, hogs are a major problem. And you guys know that I harp on it. And if you've seen the damage that they do, you'd understand why. And so, anyway, that's going on. I can't think of much else that's going on. If I do think of it, I'll let you know. We got a lot of things coming up. We got the KCO Open Tournament coming up, this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And that'll be fun. Lots of activities Friday at the golf course. The whole thing will be at the Elk City Golf and Country Club this year. They got the new clubhouse. If you haven't been and seen the new clubhouse at the golf course, you're missing out. Pretty cool stuff. And let's see what else we got coming up. Oh, the fishing derby's coming up in July. I don't know. There's so many things going on. I can't keep up with it. But anyway, let's check out what's happened overnight with our grain futures or all of our crop prices. It's not looking good on the board today, gentlemen. So anyway, according to this, it'll tell us why. Soybean and grain futures plunged in overnight trading on technical selling and amid favorable crop prospects in growing areas globally. Investors increased their net short positions or bets on lower prices in soybeans to 61,379 futures contracts in the week that ended on June 11th. Speculators also raised their net shorts in corn it was up slightly to 219,992 contracts. And then money managers also raised their bearish bets in hard and soft red winter wheat. Grain output forecast for Europe and the UK was increased last week. The European Association of Trade and Cereals Oilseed Impulses, the organization raised its outlook to 296 million metric tons, up from March's projection of 295.5 million. That's a half a million. And the 23 harvest to 292.8 million. Rainfall is expected in parts of Alberta this weekend and this week in Canada, which also could boost the prospects for wheat in the Canadian province. Precipitation is also in the forecast for growing areas in the Black Sea region, which could give crops a boost, according to weather forecasts. Last I heard, it had freeze damage. I'm not sure you can boost freeze damage, but we'll see. Soybeans for July delivery overnight dropped 15 cents to $11.64¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 380 to 364.60 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.43 cents to 43.25 cents a pound. Corn futures were down a nickel to 445 a bushel. Wheat for July delivery plunged 17 cents to $5.95¾ a bushel, and Kansas City futures lost 15.5 cents to $6.12 a bushel. Positive blending margins are forecast to support corn crushing for ethanol in the coming months, according to the USDA in a follow-up statement to last week's supply and demand reports. Corn used for ethanol will total 5.45 billion bushels in the 24-25 marketing year that starts on September 1st. Agency said in its monthly World Agriculture Supply and Demand estimate, if realized, this would be unchanged year over year. Still, ethanol producers use 3.61 billion bushels of corn to make the biofuel from September 1st through April 30th, up 6.1% from the same period a year earlier. Favorable blending margins are expected to remain supportive for crushing. Shipments have also been robust. Ethanol exports through March totaled 962 million gallons, topping the 681 million shipped during the same time frame last year. Compared with the last couple of years, ethanol volumes exported to Canada, India, UK, Europe, and Colombia have grown. In addition, the United States has seen shipping a sizable volume of ethanol to a multitude of countries. Corn used for feed was unchanged at 5.75 billion in the 24-25 marking year. That's billion bushels. This would be up from 5.7 billion used a year earlier. Weather in the Farm Belt, man, looks just like Ohio, and Indiana and Minnesota. They all are getting some heavy rainfall in areas, heat advisories, heat indexes. Everything's crazy. It's crazy around here. It's pretty hot out here in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle. Looks like we're going to have at least two, if not 3 days, of 15 to 25 mile an hour wind with 40 mile an hour gusts for the next during the night even also. So hopefully you can get your hay put up, because I don't think anything's going to go on some case, maybe according to what the forecast says, but check it out for yourself. Don't sleep in because you heard today on Ag with Jimmy Clark said that there wasn't going to be no humidity in the morning. Get your butt out of bed and check it yourself. How's that? Anyway, Saturday was my wife's birthday. She turned 49, and I gave her a choice. And you want to go to Prairie Fire and eat in Elk City, or you want to go to a crawfish cookout down south of the river? To my shock, we ended up at the crawfish cookout. Well, I didn't taste it, but I could tell by the reaction, and I could tell by the color. Rodney was cooking some cauliflower, and it had a little red tint to it. According to everybody, it's the best cauliflower they've ever ate. It looked hot to me, and I like mild temperature stuff, but now it wasn't happening. But anyway, crawfish and the shrimp and all the fixings with it was really good. Potatoes, the whole deal. And then afterwards, and it was like a gang fights for the ice cream, but there was some homemade banana ice cream and some vanilla strawberry ice cream. Oh, but I didn't mess it up. I know there's strawberries in it, and the ice cream was white, so it had to been vanilla. Anyway, oh man, there's nothing better than just a cookout at by somebody's barn, and it was hot, but anyway, it was a good time. And so anyway, thanks for the food down there. Anyway, let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When we come back, I'll have your Eastern Texas panel ag weather update, and we'll see what the Lipscomb's dealerships ag market looks like now compared to this morning really early. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our FECON Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Man, I've been getting pictures and texts and messages on Facebook and stuff from people. The gardens are starting to make plentiful. Tomatoes, cucumbers, squash. One gentleman, Kelly, texted me right before the show here a while ago, about an hour ago. He's already picking up, sweet corn and putting it up for the winter. And anyway, that's going to be a good question for you listeners out there today that actually put up corn in their freezer. How do you like to put them up to store them for the freezer? Do you like to shuck them and put them in plastic bags? You like go ahead and boil them and put them in the water and then put them in the freezer? Or do you cut the ends off the ears and just leave the shuck on them and put them up in the freezer? I'm lazy, but it works. One time my laziness works. I still got corn from 3 years ago. 2 years ago, maybe. I don't remember, in the freezer, in my freezer. My wife has one, and I got one. But anyway, I just cut the ends off sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I just throw them, pick them, bring them in, throw them in a trash sack, and throw them in the freezer. That's all I do. And then when I get them out, I'll either, because I like to cook them in the shuck, in the oven, or even on the grill. So that's my favorite way of doing it. The other ways are fine. I just want to find out from everybody what their favorite way of storing corn in the freezer. I want to find out if there's any tricks I haven't heard about out there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Anyway, all right, let's continue on with the day in ag. Wallington, Texas. Here's your ag weather update for out in the panhandle of Texas. 90 degrees, heat index of 94, humidity's 50%, dew point 69. The winds are out of the south at 25 miles an hour, gust up to 31. Peak wind gust so far today, 33 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.19 inches of rain. And no red flag minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 84 degrees. I was shocked. My landlord was going to check some cattle we got here on Merritt Road. And anyway, he called me, it's too muddy. I was like, what? I thought he was joking. But right down there in the Triggers, Merritt Road, south of 152, there was a shower there yesterday morning. And anyway, got 0.3 inch there. And according to my handy dandy radar scope, someone in that area got up to 1 inch. And then it went over to Clinton and Weatherford and in that Sentinel, all in that area down there, and it commenced to raining. Because I just got a text message from somebody that says, we had to start over on the tomatoes. I didn't know they can't swim. So they must be over in that area too. So anyway, yeah, 3-4 inches of rain, if my radar scope's right, but they had aerial flood warnings out. Okay, let's check out the current market brought to you by Lipscomb's Dealerships. And what do we got? July corn. Yeah, it's not getting any better, gentlemen and ladies. July corn, 443, down 6.25. September, 450, down 7. Soybeans for July, 1159, down 20.25. August is down 20.5 at 1147. Soy meal is down, $8.20 at 360.20 for July. August, 348.70, down 740. Soybean oil, July, it's down 3 at 43.65. August is 43.87. And poor wheat. Of course, it's harvest time. July, 6.04, down 22.75. And September, 6.14, down 21.75. Cotton, not doing any good either. July cotton is at 69.56, down 141. October, 72.35, down 2. Makes you feel any better. Coffee's up $1.55 at $2.25.70. West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil, July, $79.77, up $1.32. Natural gas is down 8 at $2.79 for July. NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P are all in the green today. Cattle are down, not too much, but they are. Live cattle, June, 187.32, down 50. June cattle, live, 187.32, up 50. August is 182.85, down 32. Feeder cattle, August, 261.07, down 90. September, 262.30, down 40. Lean hogs for July, 94.82, up 117. August, 91.22, up 77. There you have it. Okay. Let's check out, before we go to break, let's do a breakdown on the Oklahoma Weekly Cattle Auction Summary. 23,741 head went through the sale barn last week, compared to almost 26,000 the week before, and there was over 32,000 last year. Feeder cattle was 89.9% of it, slaughter cattle 7.7%, replacement cattle was 2.4 compared to last week. Feeder steers over 800 was $4 to $8 higher. Feeder steers under 800 pounds was $2 to $5 lower. Steer calves $3 to $4 higher. Feeder heifers $3 to $5 higher. Heifer calves steady to $4 lower. Demand was moderate. Slaughter cows a buck lower. Slaughter bulls a buck higher. So, there you have it. Let's just randomly check some prices here. Some unweaned 412-pounders brought 333.14 on the steers. Some fancy ones weighing 533 brought 349. Some fancy ones weighing 558 brought 327.50. 600-pound range, some unweaned ones. Weighed 633 brought 267. But you look at some 607-pounders that were winged, brought 309. And then heifers. Let's check out some heifers if I can get to them. Where's the heifers? Oh, there we go. Heifers. Some 376-pounders. About 83 of them was bringing up to 350. The unwinged 370s brought 294. 15, pretty normal, 10, 15, 20 cents difference in the unweaned versus the weaned. Then we had some unweaned 666-pounders, quite a few of them, brought 223.13, but some thin flesh ones brought 261. Some thin flesh 772-pounders brought 252.80 average. Some fancy ones weighing 829 brought 237. Do the math on that one. Pretty good paycheck. So anyway, that's pretty much. Let's scroll down here, do some bulls if I can find them. There we go. Breaker, we'll do cows first. Breaker cows, looks like we're bringing up to 143.42 was the highest, but the average was 139.24. not too shabby. Boner cows, quite a few. There's still a lot of cows being sold. There's over 1,000 head of cows in this deal. Let's see. Boners were, the high was 141.06. The average was 136.61. And on the lean cows, looks like the average was 131.94. And the high was 133.24. So between lean, boner, and breaker cows, there's a nickel's worth of difference there. Dairy cows bringing anywhere from $91 to $1.12 slaughters. Here we go. There's the one I was looking for, bulls. Let's see. They look like they had probably almost 200 bulls sold in the state of Oklahoma. There was reported last week, and looks like the high was $167.91, but the average was $158.24, so they're staying intact. And the low average was what here? $144. Not too bad. Not too bad. So if you're done with your bull and you want to get rid of it and get you a new one this year, sell your old one right now if you're done and put the money back into a bull account. Tell your wife, keep her hands off of it, and you keep your hands off of it yourself and be good with there. So anyway, that was going on there. And then let's check the text line, see what we got. Got mixed with water. Oh, yeah. Shuck it. Cut it off the cob. Simmer in unsalted butter at low temperatures for 8 minutes. Don't wash it. So anyway, let's see. There's more. There's got to be more to that text. There we go. Don't wash it. Don't add water. Freeze in vacuum bags. Had some friends over last week. They thought it was this year's crop. Trick is never to get it wet and don't let it get too hot prior to bagging it. Exactly. Same way to do it if you don't shuck it, if you just cut the ends off of it or you just leave it like it is, throw it in a bag, do not wash it, don't do nothing, just throw it in a bag and use it after that. So there we go. Let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, we'll have your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. And what do we want to talk about? I have something up here that I was going to talk about. Oh, is it possible to smell how meat tastes? You guys ever thought about this? There we go. We'll talk about that. And then coming up in our last segment, I'll give you a full update on our wheat harvest statewide. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 7th. 1,244 head were sold, 7 head of steers at 324 brought 422.50, 5 at 497 brought 312.50, 6 at 553 brought 306, 8 at 672 brought 250, 6 at 749 brought 244, 9 at 815 brought 247, 10 head of heifers at 416 brought 326, 11 at 540 brought 246, 5 at 688 brought 220, 3 at 713 brought 228, 39 at 890 brought 208, butcher cows were 28 to 156, butcher bulls brought 113 to 195, bred cows were 1325 to 2525, pairs brought 1035 to 3350, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I ran off from home and forgot my B&L Red Angus cup this morning. And if you guys notice, I'm using a styrofoam cup. I really miss it because it held a lot of water. I've already had to go back and get this thing refilled twice now. All right, here is your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. I picked Freedom, 92 degrees, feels like 98, dew point 70, humidity's 49, the winds are out of the southeast at 20 miles an hour with wind gust up to 30, 10-day rain total, 0.18 one-hundredths of an inch, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 84 degrees, sunset at 8:58, breezy at 96 today, winds out of the south at 22 to 28 with wind gust up to 40. Tonight, same thing, 72 for a low. Tomorrow, again, breezy, 94 degrees with south winds, 20 to 25 miles an hour with wind gust up to 40. Sounds like a good day to go to the lake and go water skiing today or tomorrow. If you don't learn how to white cap in Western Oklahoma, ski on white caps, you're not learning how to ski. All right, let's see here. Is it possible to smell how meat tastes? It's such a great item for a day like the day, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. So the aroma of grilled meat wafting across the backyard can make your mouth water as you seem to almost taste the steak from the grill. This is true. But did you know there is an actual science behind why that happens? Chris Kurth, PhD Associate Professor of Meat Science and Muscle Biology in the Texas A&M College of Agriculture and Life Sciences Department of Animal Science. What a title. Can they shorten this crap up? Anyway, has spent more than 12 years researching flavor aromas and how good and bad odors correlate with our perception of flavors. For example, when you smell a steak cooking, Kurth explains how you are smelling the chemical compounds that it emits in reaction to the heat. It is those chemical compounds that he detects and quantitates in his scientific research. Some of these smells and odors, like grill flavor, result in positive responses like, I am hungry, I want to eat this. There are also odors like soured milk that results in negative responses. If you smell those odors, then you likely will not want to eat the product, as they tend to be indicators of poor quality. Kurth's research interests are primary animal nutrition, management, and genetic factors related to flavor chemistry and the development of aromas that impact the sensory and the quality traits in meat, food, and beverage products. So while we're talking about this, send me a text in here to 580-225-9697. What's your favorite aroma when cooking, when smelling something cooking? And what's your least favorite of something that's cooking? I know what mine is, but I'll save it for later. When it's done, Kurth knows that the chemical is responsible for what aroma. Often we talk about food and how it tastes. We mostly talk about the tenderness and the texture. But about 12 years ago, I became interested in determining how to measure flavor. The concept of measuring the flavor of food is extraordinarily more complex than simply measuring the tenderness or the juiciness. It requires very specialized equipment. I could see me using this in my next promotion of my beef I sell. Man, have you ever smelt this blah blah? Well, guess what? I have it for you in my beef. Being able to characterize the differences is important. Kurth said, I want to keep saying Keith, but it's Kurth. For instance, chemicals containing sulfur compounds can be associated with a bad smell like rotten eggs, but in really small quantities, sulfur actually has a pleasant odor to it, contributing to the meat flavor. Once we are able to identify and quantify the different chemicals, we start working with the meat itself to find ways to increase the good aromas and decrease the bad aromas. Kurth began working with Rhonda Miller, another professor at Texas A&M AgriLife Research Facility, or faculty, not facility, and she's also a meat science professor in the same department, on the sensory side of food taste. She would conduct expert-trained sensory panels and consumer panels to identify factors that influence their evaluations of taste based on mouthfeel. Then after evaluating these results, they could both specifically tell the aroma chemicals that consumers did and didn't like. A little fat reversing engineering here. From a chemistry standpoint, Keith said most of the aroma comes from either the breakdown of the fat or the surface browning, which requires protein and sugars naturally found in meat. And that is determined by the cooking method and how much heat is involved. The more heat we apply, the more those flavors will be generated, he said. Bacon out of the package doesn't smell like much, but once it starts cooking, the whole house smells like bacon. So cookery is huge, important in generating the aromas and the flavors we want. Kurth went one step further, concentrating on the grill temperature. When you put the piece of meat on the grill, whether it is on a gas or charcoal or flat top, the temperature of that grill is very important because we want to sear on the outside. Imagine the difference in the flavor between a pot roast from a crock pot with no browning and a steak with a nice sear from a hot grill. While it is important the meat be cooked to the internal doneness level, the consumer is thinking, controlling how much browning is on the outside is also important and is challenging. Getting the nice sear without overcooking is both an art and a science. Whenever we've done these studies, we've changed the grill temperature, the more char we get, the better. Up to a certain point, it smells. If it's really thick steaks, you can actually overdo it and get too much browning, which can turn consumers off. So there's a window in there if you want to hit it. In the end, he said, the combination of our senses, taste, texture, and aroma that when brought together in the right combination, help you have a even greater eating experience. Man, I tell you what, there's nothing better than a grilled steak on smell of a grilled steak on the grill, charcoal or pellet grill or whatever. It don't matter as long as it's cooked outside. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you guys today. With the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, when you're a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also get to be part of the many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. OCF distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizes internship programs, pays out theft awards, and has collected and paid over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. Next time I have Lori on here, I'm going to ask her about it, how much they paid out in the fires that we had back in the spring here. The OCA also hosts an annual WRCA-sanctioned ranch rodeo exclusively for Oklahoma ranch teams. Over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event have been given to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. It's always a great day to become a member. Go to www.okcattlemen.org or just call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. And you all know, if you're a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you know what's coming up next month. They're in Norman, Oklahoma. It's going to be a fun time. I'll have more on that later on. So, okay, let's go ahead and take a OCA break. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money, too. My wife will be so proud.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Y'all come to the party at Barrett Ison Ford. Wednesday, June the 26th, we're celebrating 30 years in business and our 7th President's Award. David Droke with Payzone will cook prime rib sliders and smoked mac and cheese. And Surf Bar will serve up treats as well. Oklahoma State University's Abby Thomas and Bullet will be there. So will Pistol Pete and some surprises you won't want to miss. Help us celebrate our 7th President's Award for excellence in customer service and our 30th anniversary at Barrett Ison Ford. Wednesday, June the 26th from 11 to 1, next to the airport in Elk City. Y'all come see us.
Fracking, production, completion. We believe in a future where energy production goes hand in hand with environmental stewardship and innovation. Join us at the forefront of the oil and gas industry. Ensure your wells are not just productive, but also sustainable. WellWorks Energy, where energy meets innovation. Visit us at WellWorksEnergy.com or call today to learn more about our services and how we can support your operations. WellWorks Energy.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Tipton, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update forecast for southwestern Oklahoma. 89 degrees, currently feels like 94. The wind, dew point 71, humidity's 55. The winds are out of the south at 20 with wind gust up to 26. 1.53 inches of rain so far in the last 10 days. 85 degrees is the 4-inch bare soil temperature average. Sunset at 8:51, breezy 94, 21 to 23 mile an hour wind. Tonight, same thing with the wind, 74 for a low, 92 for a high tomorrow. Same thing with the wind, up to 40 mile an hour gusts also tomorrow. All right, let's check out what's happening with our wheat harvest. Anyway, we got wrong wheat harvest. There we go. And now I'm on the right wheat harvest. Oklahoma wheat harvest continues to move along in all areas of the state. Elevator locations reporting a lot of movement in all areas, with many of the southern and central regions getting closer to the finish line. Great progress has also been made the last few days in north central and northeastern Oklahoma, according to the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Is calling, and they're also calling the wheat harvest 75% complete. I mean, it'll take, they get the weather, they can knock some stuff out in a hurry. So let's check out some of the spots down in southwestern and western Oklahoma to start out. Granfield, Chattanooga, Lawton test weights have dropped slightly in all these regions, with some weights coming in from 57 to 59 pounds per bushel. They've been getting a lot of rain down there, but there's still some 60 pounds test weights coming in after the rains. It has been reported by producers that some varieties have certainly been better at holding test weights. That would be interesting to know which varieties. A large portion of this region was harvested before the heavy rains, so this area will still be looking at above 60 plus test weights for the harvest season. Yields are still favoring, ranging from the low 40s to low 50s. Protein averages have been reported at 10.5 to 12% with overall 11.2. They're 95% done. Altus, Roosevelt, Lone Wolf, Hobart. A large amount of progress has been made the past couple days, but in some areas at the beginning of the week, it's a slower start due to some heavy rains. Test weights have dropped slightly this week, but still holding a 60-plus average for the entire region. Yields reported is ranging from low 40s to mid-50s. Some of the higher managed wheat making in the low 60s to low 70s. Proteins in the region are ranging from 9 to 14. Average, 11.8. These locations around Hobart, Lone Wolf, and Altus, 85% complete. Sentinel, Rocky, harvesting the areas. I'm going to throw Cordell in there too. How's that? I don't want maybe Deal City. I don't want the Cotton King to be left out of the wheat harvest. Harvest in the area has made further progress over the last few days. Test weights are still holding 60 to 62 pounds per bushel for the most part. Yields are ranging from the mid-40s to the mid-50s. Some other areas are reporting up into the 70s. Proteins in these areas are averaging 11.5 to 12. Locations are reported 95% complete. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, let me see here. Northern Oklahoma. Let's pick out somebody we know. How about Camargo Shattuck Fort Supply? Producers also got rolling in these areas over the weekend. Much of the region has had extreme drought conditions, although the wheat in Camargo areas reported to be doing better as they have had moisture over the season. Test weights reported from 61 pounds per bushel and above. Yields been around 25. Around Camargo, yields up to, 40 bushels per acre have been reported. Proteins 11 to 11.8. They are at 35 to 40% complete. Let's see here. Somebody else we know around here. Let's go with the Kingfisher Omega O'King area. Test weights are 60 to 62 pounds per bushel as they've dropped slightly with the rains but are overall holding up. Yields are ranging from the mid-40s to low 50s for the most part. Some areas where they've been managed correctly, according to this report, mid-60s with some pushing 70 bushels per acre. Protein is ranging right at 11.8 on average. They're saying they're 75% complete around around O'Keen. Omega is 85% complete, and Kingfisher and Reading are at 95% complete. All right, one more. Let's check out the Panhandle of Oklahoma. Turpin, Baker, and Hooker. Producers have made good movement on dryland wheat in these regions, but are just getting a good start. It is thought that irrigated wheat harvest will be a little slower than what was predicted in the week. But right now, producers are thinking harvest on irrigated wheat will be in around 10 days. Dryland yields have been reported from the high 20s to the mid-40s. For the most part, depending on rainfall and management practices, test weights are ranging from 60 to 61 pounds per bushel. Proteins are ranging from 5 to 13. They're 15% complete. So anyway, I'll have probably one more report for you on wheat harvest towards the end of the week, maybe Thursday, and then we'll see how things go. Maybe one more. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, appreciate your deal there. All right. I have a little bit on the cotton. Let's do a cotton update. Before I do the cotton update, let's do this update. I got this from Greer County this morning, their service center. Just some friendly reminders. Office will be closed Wednesday for Juneteenth. 28th of June is CRP Grassland sign-up deadline. July 4th, it'll be closed. July 8th, here's a very important one for you. Acreage report deadline to report summer crops. So you need to get that going on. Greer County has qualified for LFP on cool season pasture, including small grains, on 11/15 of 23. If you have land that you lease from someone or have not picked up your lease forms, those are ready for you to pick up at the FSA office. Once you provide your numbers and all the leases are returned, we will load your application and contact you to sign the application. Call the Greer County. This is Greer County that's qualified, okay? Don't be calling Hobart. This is for call Mangum. Anyway, that's for Greer County. Also, you have until the 28th to sign up for the USDA's Grassland Conservation Reserve Program. What else is going on? Oh, nominations for the 24 county committee elections is due by the 1st of August? Did I see that right? It's the year. I seen a date on it. Hang on here. Bear with me. Yes, August 1st, the deadline to submit a COC nomination. Other than that, that's what's going on. Let's see. I messed around. I'm not going to get started with that other story. What else we got? Anyway, got any questions on any of this? Call your local FSA office and they'll help you out. I remember the LFP program. I'm talking Greer County here. Please don't blow up your other phones on that deal. So, yep, my music's playing. Okay, hope you guys enjoyed today's show. See you mañana. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.